CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. With 64% of the membership voting no, striking machinists at Boeing rejected the company's latest contract offer.
The vote by the 33,000 workers came the same day the embattled company reported a quarterly loss of more than $6 billion. Boeing's new offer included enhanced health and retirement benefits and a 35% pay raise. But workers say not enough. And the company did not offer to restore workers' pension plans.
ABC's Andrea Fagee. McDonald's and federal public health officials still trying to determine the source of E. coli that sickened 49 people in 10 states and spurred the company to pull its quarter pounder in those states. The sliced onions on the sandwich suspected. At a town hall-style event on CNN in Philadelphia, Vice President Harris said yes when asked if former President Trump was a fascist, as opined by former Chief of Staff John Kelly. Trump called Kelly a lowlife on his social media. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Much of the Badger State is still in high fire danger. In fact, in some parts of central and northeastern Wisconsin, the risk is now considered very high. Here's Brittany Merlot.
There have been 72 wildfires across Wisconsin in the past week, burning a total of 925 acres. Most of them were started by equipment like mowing operations, RVs, and more. But burning debris, even when it's been banned, has still been happening. Don't do it. One spark, even as small as a cigarette butt, can start a fire.
We're getting into cold and flu season. Extra hand washing and dry air can lead some to develop eczema. Dr. Abigail Tao, a Spira dermatologist.
People with eczema tend to have more inflammation at the skin layer, so it presents with dry, itchy, scaly, rashy skin.
She says it's critical to take care of that dry skin. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Bucks improve on defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won their season opener last night in Philly, 124-109 over the 76ers. Head coach Doc Rivers very pleased with the effort on defense from Brooke Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Our bigs protected the basket the entire night, and they made some tough shots. And you can see they were exhausted. You know, driving into the trees, that's exactly what we wanted.
The Bucks host the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL Packers head coach Matt LaFleur bringing in his best friend and former New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh to Green Bay. LaFleur said he wants the former 49ers defensive coordinator to review the Packers on offense this week. College football, the Badgers host number 3-ranked Penn State Saturday night. Now, the last time Wisconsin beat a top-ranked team at home was in 2010 when they defeated number 1-ranked Ohio State. Luke Fickle.
It's a night game. It's later in the day. We know there's going to create an environment that's going to be really exciting and fun. I think that's what we need to look at, not, hey, what are these guys ranked?
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickle. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, former UN Ambassador Susan Rice will join us at 10:33. Hour number two, all things sports with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. And this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds on the increase here in the overnight. South winds 5 to 15 and lower 30s by daybreak. On Thursday, mostly cloudy skies. Look for some showers in the mid to late afternoon hours. South winds pretty breezy. Highs in the lower 60s. It's 39 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from the show Outrageous Pumpkins, Wisconsin's own Carly Ide joins the show. Then we talk jack-o'-lantern days in Fish Creek and our popcorn pick of the week with Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM.
The Zone.
Well, good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into your day, I am so glad that you are making the Midwest Farm Report a part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and here at the Midwest Farm Report, we try to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture. And while the county fair season may be over, it's still on the minds of some. We'll hear about how this fair season went and what's next. Plus, we'll get some insight into how you can make the most out of your fall produce bounty, whether you grew it yourself or picked it up at an orchard, a patch, or a farmer's market. And we also will get an update on our dairy markets from our friends at EverAg. All of these details are yet to come.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
I confess, I love to host a party. I love having people over. But when they come over, I want to leave a favorable impression with them, not just with the atmosphere, but the food. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage. So I went to Scott and I said, listen, I need something for a pretty good sized group in my backyard. And he set me up with their Berkey Brats. Now, I've talked about these before, but my guests talked about them through the whole event, telling me, man, Pam, these are great brats. Something different about these brats. They were asking me all kinds of questions, and I was happy to tell them what I knew about all the custom mixes that are being worked on right now at Bavaria Sausage. Now, listen, you can experience the Berkey Brats yourself, but you've got to go to the retail location right now. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, or shop all the great Bavaria Sausage flavors online. BavariaSausage.com, and get ready to amplify any event you're hosting. Bavaria Sausage.
We're in the fall of the year, and we don't always think about those fairs. We think of the falling leaves and the beauty of the area. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. It really is fair wrap-up season, and I have Jamie Butke. She is the executive director for the Wisconsin Association of Fairs. Now, you just wrapped up some of your district meetings. How many of those did you have?
We did 4 in-person meetings, and then we also do one evening of a Zoom meeting for those that can't take another day of vacation to do fair work. So at the end, there's 5 meetings that we host, and we have 75 fairs that are members of the Wisconsin Association of Fairs, and 56 of those sent representatives to our meeting. So we had about 140 people who got together to talk about how their fair was and what they're planning to do in the upcoming year.
And is that common to have that many in attendance to represent those fairs?
It is. I've been in my job since 2005, and we've been doing spring meetings and fall meetings even before I ever started. And they may fluctuate. Like, you might have more people and less fairs, and now we probably have more fairs represented with fewer people that come. But it really goes in a spurt as to when the meeting is held and who can get off work and where their board is situated. But, yes, our fairs are very used to getting together every spring and every fall.
You got together. I'm sure there's some networking and some of the activities are discussed. What were some of the highlights of some of those conversations?
So we spent a lot of time asking what values they felt the fair industry brought to them. One of the things we're doing for our convention is talking about our importance in communities. So we spent a lot of time, and we heard a lot of reoccurring themes that it is community, fairs are affordable, family, fun, entertainment, and they're a way for youth and really all to showcase goods that they've done, which is really how fairs originally started. But they're looking to continue that and have good competition and just a fun environment. A lot of the fairs said we're like a fair, like we're like a family reunion. People come back year to year to come back to the family, to the fair that has taken place. So those are some really neat things in regards to the values that they see. That fairs provide. We also spent a lot of time talking about what type of exhibits that they have. What are the most popular? What are the growing areas? And to no surprise, photography and cultural arts really are the two departments that you can go anywhere in the state, and they just seem to be booming, especially in the digital area. You know, we're seeing more things in photography. But I would say that there's some areas where livestock is really beaming. I was surprised we had a couple fairs that said, hey, dairy's still growing. I'm like, that hasn't really been the trend. But livestock's really taken off, and goats seem to be, goats and swine in some areas just really be the thing that a lot of youth are really starting to exhibit in.
And you did bring up the dairy and the expansion in some of the fairs for the dairy. What were some of the challenges? Influenza that was out there with the testing and that kind of thing, how did that play out within the fairs?
So I know that milking cows were definitely in a shortage of appearance at a lot of our fairs, and it had a lot to do with, you know, when was another show or fair that they were going to, because they had to have time to get them tested and get back. So I think they were selective as far as where they had shown their milking cows. But I think one thing that really was extremely positive was we worked really hard with the Wisconsin Department of Ag Trade and Consumer Protection. Debbie Jaguer serves as our fairs coordinator, and we worked a lot with you know, our vet, Dr. Conkle, and her whole crew, and like what that process was. I think I've talked to the department more this year than I ever have, because it was really a weekly touch base on where are we at, what's going on, what do our fairs need to know. And really our fairs jumped on, hey, this is a new protocol that needs to be taken place, the testing needs to be done, and fairs just adapted to it. We had a couple fairs that chose to not have milking cows at their fair, and that really came more from an exhibitor saying, hey, we're not going to bring them. So they made the decision to not do that, but there was really only a handful that did that. And again, we followed the rules and had great procedures that were in place and great communications with the Department of Ag.
And I am going to swing back a little bit to the gatherings and the activities that are happening at the fairs. There's got to be at least one across the state that caught your attention, that somebody's doing something a little bit different out there that maybe will catch on to some of these other fairs. Would you like to share?
Sure. It's kind of funny. We talked about areas that either had new contests at their fair that maybe showed up in their premium book, or they just held a contest. So we're really seeing, like, fairs are adapting. So, like, there's more herbs that are being showcased at fairs. They're changing some of their cooking classes to include gluten-free recipes, or the use of an Instapot to create something. One that I thought was just hilarious was a photo contest, and they use a trail cam. And they made it that it had to be a funny trail cam. So you couldn't go, and it wasn't something you could pose, right? It was not that you could put Sasquatch in your woods and take a picture. It was something that happened. And if it was a deer that came up to it, or you caught the flying squirrel or whatever, things that happen naturally in nature. And they made it part of the fun was, yeah, you got the picture, now what's the caption to go along with it? It was quite interesting to find that. There were, like, diamond dots is a new thing in cultural arts that people are taking on. So what I was finding is they were finding classes that could be adapted for youth, for adults, for senior citizens. I think that was an area that we were hearing from fairs, like, we want them all to come and they want to participate and have something social to do. So I love that they're adapting their classes. You know, a lot of times we talk about the animals, but we don't really talk about the static exhibits that take place.
Reaching out to the community seems to be guiding a lot of the fairs.
It really does, and I think that's one of the things we're going to be talking about our convention this coming January. We have a keynote speaker, Ian Hill, coming in, and I think one thing that the fairs don't do a great job is we don't sell how great a fair is. It's just, well, it's the event that takes place every year because it always happens. But I think we need to really relook at how we sell a fair and the importance that it brings to the community, the economic impact that it does. But it is, it's that gathering. Like once a year I have to go because I'm going to see everybody and meet around a fair box or whatever. So, and I think, although fairs know it's important, we just don't do a good job of selling that. And so I think that's something we're really going to focus on this next year is like, how do you really sell the importance of a fair so that we don't, you know, lose fairs in the future?
And there is the fair convention in January where you're gathering. Other than this speaker that's going to talk about selling the fairs, what are some of the other things that are covered when you get together?
Sure, we bring in a panel. Animal Health is included. UW Extension is there. DADCAP is there. We talk about anything that's happening in the ag world, right here. Any new rules that the Department of Ag might have for us in Animal Health. We'll talk about those and then how those affect fairs or different things that come up at fairs in regard to any animals. So we have a great networking session on that. We're going to talk about how you recruit volunteers. There's a new way to do it. You know, the generations have changed, and how are you getting that next generation to want to be involved in a fair board and put in the same passion that a lot of us that have been around for a while have about a fair. We're also going to talk about different ways to find funding for it, funding for your fairs going forward. And then the Wisconsin Association of Fairs is really excited. We are going to be unveiling a new logo. We've done some new branding and help our fairs talk about, do they have a brand? They may come up with a fair theme every year, but have they really branded what they sell at their fair? And that's something that they need to work on. Look at their fair more like a business than they do just an event that happens.
And when is the convention and where?
Convention will take place January 5th through the 8th. It's at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And the fun part is our convention theme this year is the Fair Family Reunion.
And getting the best out of our youth and adults and our seniors at the Wisconsin Fairs. And that was Jamie Butke. She's the Executive Director for the Wisconsin Association of Fairs. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Waters. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume and it goes on over your other clothes. So I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Host of Rational Revolution, Mark Becker, in with a big announcement, and friend of the show, Matt Flynn, looking at the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Ahead of schedule, and farmers are busy gathering the last of their crops, racing against that first frost, which could arrive any day. Noah, we kind of had maybe a little, depending on where you are in the state. And that there's an old saying that kind of goes along with that, that if October brings heavy frost and winds, it'll mean a tough winter begins. So speaking of that weather, it's time for our ag weather update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. So, Stu, what does Mother Nature have in store for our farmers in terms of this any heavy frost? Have you even heard of this saying before?
I haven't heard that one. It makes good sense, of course. You know, getting an early start by freezing it up and the winds keep that colder air streamed in. Well, it's going to be a little breezy as we head toward the end of this week, but nothing major. And I don't have a big frost around either. In fact, tonight, it's more likely we have more clouds and even a little rain in the area. There's a cool front off in far northwest Minnesota this morning, extending back into the Dakotas, back to Wyoming. And the radar is indicating very scattered light rain into west central and central parts of Minnesota, back along the southern edge of North Dakota, northern South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming. That cool front will drop south and east, heading toward Wisconsin. Out ahead of it today with south winds, we'll see clouds start to build in, but those temperatures will stay mild. In fact, even a bit warmer than yesterday, so it doesn't seem frosty at all, but the rain chance develops. In fact, even late afternoon in far western Wisconsin into the nighttime further east and south, there may still be a little rain in far eastern Wisconsin early tomorrow. What about rain amounts? Well, there's some spread and a little question mark, but I'd say putting a couple of tenths up to a quarter inch, there could be a half inch southwest Wisconsin, maybe an area that gets a little more wet than the rest of us. Everybody else, not a big rain event. That front passes through. It does stay a little cooler Friday. Saturday, the coolest day we'll see for a while because temps moderate Sunday. Monday, warming way up, although a bit of a rain chance trying to move in toward the mid part of next week, too. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
All righty, Stu, let's hear our weather forecast.
All right, Charity, we talk about some sunshine today. Clouds building in first in the west, last in the day, far east. Now I expect temps to find their way up to around 60 in the northwest, mid-60s further south, and the south winds out of that cool front probably around 5 to 15. More likely clouds with showers developing overnight. There could be a thunderstorm here or there, especially in the southwest. Temps drop down into the 40s or maybe upper 30s in the far north. The south winds about 5 to 15. Then tomorrow, some morning clouds, a little rain in the far east. Skies clearing out, becoming sunny, cooler. Only mid and upper 50s are expected with the northwest winds 5 to 15. Sunny in the low to mid 50s on Saturday, Charity. And then by Sunday, back up toward the upper 50s, low 60s, warmer Monday, Tuesday.
Well, sounds like we better bundle up for the weekend and then enjoy it while it lasts for the beginning of next week. Once again, everybody, that's Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with our ag weather update on a Thursday. Be sure to let us know how things are looking for you, how things are going, or what questions you may have that you want answered by messaging our talk text line at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Stick around with us because you never quite know what you're going to learn next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. With 64% of the membership voting no, striking machinists at Boeing rejected the company's latest contract offer.
The vote by the 33,000 workers came the same day the embattled company reported a quarterly loss of more than $6 billion. Boeing's new offer included enhanced health and retirement benefits and a 35% pay raise. But workers say not enough. And the company did not offer to restore workers' pension plans.
ABC's Andrea Fajii. McDonald's and federal public health officials still trying to determine the source of E. coli that sickened 49 people in 10 states and spurred the company to pull its quarter pounder in those states. The sliced onions on the sandwich suspected. At a town hall-style event on CNN in Philadelphia, Vice President Harris said yes when asked if former President Trump was a fascist, as opined by former Chief of Staff John Kelly. Trump called Kelly a lowlife on his social media. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Much of the Badger State is still in high fire danger. In fact, in some parts of central and northeastern Wisconsin, the risk is now considered very high. Here's Brittany Merlot.
There have been 72 wildfires across Wisconsin in the past week, burning a total of 925 acres. Most of them were started by equipment like mowing operations, RVs, and more. But burning debris, even when it's been banned, has still been happening. Don't do it. One spark, even as small as a cigarette butt, can start a fire.
We're getting into cold and flu season. Extra hand washing and dry air can lead some to develop eczema. Dr. Abigail Tao, a Spirus dermatologist.
People with eczema tend to have more inflammation at the skin layer, so it presents with dry, itchy, scaly, rashy skin.
She says it's critical to take care of that dry skin. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Bucks improve on defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won their season opener last night in Philly, 124-109 over the 76ers. Head coach Doc Rivers very pleased with the effort on defense from Brooke Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Our bigs protected the basket the entire night, and they made some tough shots. And you can see they were exhausted. You know, driving into the trees, that's exactly what we wanted.
The Bucks host the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL Packers head coach Matt LaFleur bringing in his best friend and former New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh to Green Bay. LaFleur says he wants the former 49ers defensive coordinator to review the Packers on offense this week. College football, the Badgers host number 3-ranked Penn State Saturday night. Now, the last time Wisconsin beat a top-ranked team at home was in 2010 when they defeated number 1-ranked Ohio State. Luke Fickell.
It's a night game. It's later in the day. We know there's going to create an environment that's going to be really exciting and fun. I think that's what we need to look at, not, hey, what are these guys ranked?
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow. Thursday morning, two more of the candidates seeking to take the Wisconsin legislature in a new direction. Steve Doyle of La Crosse and Lou Ann Bird of suburban Milwaukee.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and breezy today with a high right around 62 this afternoon. There will be a few scattered showers late this afternoon into this evening, and then we will clear out after midnight tonight with a low of 37. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, 54 the weekend. Pleasant with sunshine and highs in the 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It was their best win, probably.
Yeah, and Colorado now plays in, like, the worst Power Four conference.
Yeah.
I'm Charity Stubecker, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday morning. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane first. While our Wisconsin State Fair takes place in August now, back on October 24th, 1851, Wisconsin held its very first state fair in Janesville, kicking off a tradition that highlights our state's rich agricultural heritage. Fast forward now to 1924, when the Wisconsin Dairy Herd Improvement Association was founded, revolutionizing how farmers track dairy production and herd health. Programs like DHIA have helped shape the efficiency of farming in Wisconsin, ensuring that we remain leaders in agriculture. And speaking of efficiency and getting the most out of what we produce, this time of year is all about harvest, which means it's important to know how to properly store our fall produce. Whether it's squash, potatoes, apples, proper storage can make a big difference in freshness and flavor. Farm team member Stephanie Hoff has the story on some tips to keep your fall produce in top shape as we head into winter.
So you get back from the apple orchard, the pumpkin patch, or the fall farmers market with a bounty of produce. But now what do you do with it? Rachel Wandry works with the locally grown program in the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. She reminds us that you have the tools in your home to keep this produce well into the winter months without any elbow grease.
Indeed, refrigerator, a basement, like you said, the basic technology, we have it to keep that bounty going. And it's true, when you go to the apple orchard, you so often come home with more apples and more pumpkins and squash than you know what to do with. So it's lots of ways that you can just keep it fresh through the winter months without having to go through all those steps of canning and processing.
And it starts with the drawers in our refrigerator. They're called crisper drawers. Not everyone may know how to use them to their best capabilities, but maybe you can provide some insight for us there.
So the crisper drawers control airflow, which affects humidity. So oftentimes there'll be a little slider on the drawers that'll say low or high or, you know, moist. And so what we're, different produce likes different things. So most fruits and vegetables, apples, softer fruits and vegetables, they like high humidity. They want to be both cold and moist. So they want to be in the high humidity drawer. You can even put them in a paper bag to cut down on the airflow or a perforated plastic bag. So they need to have some airflow, but they want humidity. Versus the low humidity drawer, if that's going to be more for onions, garlic, things that want to be cold but dry. So that's why you have those different ways that you can set up the crisper drawers.
Should we wash produce before we put it in the refrigerator?
Surprising to a lot of people, but no. You should wait to wash your produce. The outer skins of fruits and vegetables are a lot like our skin. They protect the vegetables, and moisture can weaken that protective layer. So as tempting as it can be, wait to wash your produce until right before you plan to use it. One thing you can do is take a look at the individuals. I'm thinking apples in particular or pumpkins. Make sure that there's no skin punctures or cuts. Anything that does have something that has broken that skin, that protective barrier, you're going to want to use those right away because they're not going to preserve as well.
Now, one of the tried and true ways of food preservation has always been the cellar. Not many homes have a cellar anymore. I suppose that's what the refrigerator's for. But if you have a basement, that's often, that may suffice as being that cold dark and dry place to store food. So tell me, what is our basement good for?
We had the cold and dry, a basement cool and dry. You want it to be cool and dry and dark with, again, with good airflow, and you want to be away from windows or other sources of moisture. It should be cool somewhere around 50 to 60 degrees, and that's going to be good for potatoes, onions, squash in particular does great in a basement.
The freezer can be an aid as well. So what are some strategies for really using your freezer to the best of its abilities?
Yeah, some things, you know, you can blanch and freeze just right away, but apples, some of the varieties that are maybe softer, they don't keep as well, but maybe you have a bounty of Harrelson's. Harrelson's are a classic pie apple. So a way to think about what you could do is plan ahead for your holidays, make apple pie, apple sauce, or some apple crisp, and then just put them in the freezer, and then you are all set to be the host with the most.
And there you have it. Easy strategies to keep your fall produce fresh and delicious throughout the winter months. Rachel Wandry joining us from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Wisconsin dairy farmers have a long-standing commitment to the health of their land, water, and animals. And the recent Dairy Producers Survey confirms this dedication. Chad Vincent, CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, highlights how it strengthens Wisconsin's reputation as America's dairyland as Wisconsin dairy farmers continue to expand their reach globally.
Exports continue to grow. Right now, Wisconsin, almost 16% of our milk is sold to products that end up outside the country. That's up from even just a few years ago. Export markets, 95% of the world's population that lives outside the U.S., and that's really where the market has to go in order for farmers to continue to find solid prices, markets, and demand for the amazing milk products that they produce. The easiest way to find information is at wisconsindairy.org, and also just reach out to anybody in our organization. We're happy to talk to you and give you insights in terms of great practices and all the wonderful things that are happening with the dairy farmers and the processors that turn the milk into amazing cheese and ice cream and butter every day.
Contact Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin for full survey results. Results.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you here at the Midwest Farm Report on this Thursday morning. Let's take a look at our morning markets for today. From Chicago, December corn is trading at 419 and three quarters. That's up three quarters. November beans are trading at 1003, up 5.5 cents. December wheat is trading at 579.5, up a penny. And July 2025 wheat is trading at 615, up a penny. On the dairy side of things, November Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2028 a hundredweight, down 12 cents. December milk is trading at 2058, up 14 cents. Feral cheese closed yesterday at 190 and three quarters, down a quarter. 40-pound block cheese closed yesterday at 191, up 3 cents. And the double A butter closed down 2.25 cents at 265 and a half. Coming up, we'll have all the dairy commodity news you can handle, as we have Matt Tranel from EverAg joining us. Stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We're exploring a new report by election system watchdog Protect Democracy called Deceive, Disrupt, Deny, which lays out the likely strategy by bad actors to subvert the 2024 election. That strategy won't succeed, but it won't be pretty either. Deceive is the first of the three-pronged attack. Bad actors are already claiming, despite the passage of 900 new election bills since 2020, that the election system is somehow rigged. In 2020, that deception was that the electronic ballot tabulators were somehow manipulated to change the outcome. In 2024, it's baseless claims of widespread non-citizen voting. To support that claim, some states have passed proof of citizenship laws and allowed mass challenges of voter eligibility. In reality, there is no evidence of widespread voting by non-citizens. The report also points to activists and partisan politicians continuing to question the security and accuracy of the electronic ballot tabulators and pushing hand counting. Not only is hand counting less accurate, but will likely delay the election results, causing further doubt. Protect Democracy expects bad actors to also turn Election Day problems, such as ballot shortages or machine failures, into conspiracy theories. We'll have more in our next report. We've linked to Protect Democracy's report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll dive into Kamala Harris's policies with Earl Ingram. Plus, are GOP polls rigging the averages in favor of Trump? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Report that came out. It showed a slight decline in milk production in Wisconsin, but an increase in the overall U.S. So what factors are you seeing contributing to this?
Yeah, so, like you said, Wisconsin was down about 0.5%. Minnesota was down 2%. And so I think that kind of plays into the kind of the narrative that we've seen here in the upper Midwest, where maybe some milk buyers have been a little bit more aggressive in regards to asking folks if they maybe have an interest in maybe shipping some milk elsewhere. Kind of the first time we've heard that in quite some time. Part of the reason for that seems to be, and mainly it's breeding some of the cows to Angus calves, as we've seen the values of those calves be worth upwards of $700 a head to $900 a head, I've heard in different places. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think the farm economics, especially if you don't have some type of expansion plan planned within the next few years, definitely supports continuing to take advantage of the high beef prices that are out there. So I think that's kind of the primary reason that we do have maybe a little bit less milk in the upper Midwest. We did see in other regions, we saw Idaho gained about 1.8% milk compared to last year. We saw Texas continued to rebound. They're up about 4.7%. And then California was very neutral in the milk production report. September for the milk production report really was the beginning of avian bird flu out in California. And so not a ton of dairies were really dealing with it at that particular moment in time. But as we move into the next milk production report that comes out in November for the October data, a lot more of that will kind of come out, and we'll see what USDA does with those numbers. But the big surprise in the milk production report was actually revisions that USDA made. You look at the August data, and they actually changed the production from negative 0.1% year-over-year loss in milk. And they changed that to positive 0.4%. So they moved the needle 0.5%. which it isn't uncommon for USDA to make revisions, but a revision of that magnitude was a little bit on the higher end of things. So ultimately, it was a surprise that we had there, and that was really the biggest reason why milk prices did kind of sell off as hard as they did the last couple of days.
And there was a recent Global Dairy Trade Index, a little bit smaller version, but a recent one that came out that showed gains across most dairy commodities. So can you explain what this means for U.S. dairy producers and exporters?
Yeah, so Global Dairy Trade is really a look at really the prices that are coming out of Oceania, so New Zealand, and also Australia. This week we did have the GDT Pulse, which is a little bit smaller of an index, specifically looks at whole milk powder and skim milk powder. We're up a little bit on both indexes this week, but the big GDT will come out actually next Tuesday. And, yeah, I mean, that's just a look at what the Oceania prices are. That is just kind of a competitive type auction that we ultimately have and have to deal with. A lot of the Oceania product ends up making its way into Asia, mainly China. That's kind of their number one player. And I mean, moving forward, New Zealand has proven that they have a decent amount of production coming into this new year, and they will likely be our main rivals that we have for the export market. The European Union continues to deal with different production hiccups and also dealing with regulations. So they have blue tongue disease, which is hampering some of their production. They have regulations that are definitely making it more difficult to dairy farm there. So we'll have to kind of keep a close eye on the GDT indexes as they remain a formidable player in the export world that the United States was lucky enough to participate in a big way, specifically on the cheese end of the spectrum in 2024. So, yeah, we'll keep a very close eye on that.
And I feel like this is something that we talk about over and over again, but that consumer demand side of things. How is consumer demand for dairy products changing? How is it looking right now?
Yeah, so it's been kind of a struggle, if I'm being honest, on really demand all over the place. We have seen more and more demand in regards to what we would consider maybe more economical foods. So we've definitely seen an uptick in mozzarella demand, which is kind of a direct correlation to frozen pizza. We all know that frozen pizzas, you can certainly feed a lot of mouths for a little bit cheaper price than what it would be if you were to order a pizza, eat in a restaurant or takeout. So we've definitely seen an uptick in that. As we've watched butter and cheese prices fall, we've also seen more and more grocery stores start to run promotions in regards to butter and cheese, butter for the upcoming baking holiday, and cheese is just kind of a staple that Americans have in their diet at this point. Both are used to drive store traffic, hoping that the discount that they give on those products will get you in there to buy something else that isn't markdown. So, yeah, I mean, we've definitely seen some retracements in definitely takeout foods here recently. And I think it's going to be a struggle moving forward. Inflation's still high. Consumers are still reeling from the inflation that they've seen over the last how many years.
Anything else, Matt, that you're keeping an eye on right now, or questions you're getting from farmers, any advice moving forward, just anything else that's on your radar?
So USDA has the cold storage report coming up on Friday, so that's one thing. Another thing is we do have a pile of new cheese plants coming online within the next 6 months, three or four of them. And so not only will that bring more cheese to the market, but that will also bring more whey production to The market whey prices right now are relatively strong. We're at about 60 cents. It's not uncommon for whey prices to be closer to 40. And so if whey prices were to drop 20 cents, every penny of whey is worth 6 cents in a class 3 formula. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but a 20 cent drop means $1.20 comes out of class 3. So I think it's just kind of looking at your margins. At least milk over feed would indicate that we have very strong margins out into 2025, up into like the 90th percentile. Obviously, that doesn't take into account some of the inflationary costs that have increased significantly, but there's definitely a margin there that dairy farmers should definitely be looking at into 2025 with all this cheese coming online.
Once again, that's Matt Tranel, Senior Dairy Market Advisor with EverAg, joining us. Thanks for sticking around with me on this Thursday morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Charity Seebecker. Have a great day, everyone.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Good nutrition is a lifelong pursuit, and not that hard to do. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
You met Dr. Priscilla Posse yesterday as she discussed how important nutrition is in early childhood and beyond. Posse is a pediatrician and a board member of the National Medical Association. In a recent episode of the Dairy Defined podcast from the National Milk Producers Federation, she touted the value of dairy.
We've seen how dairy is important to development in children. From birth to 2 years old, that is the most optimal time, right, when children's brains are developing. And dairy has a lot of minerals and vitamins that support that. It's great. Bone development. We've seen improvement in skin. So teenagers, yes, if you're taking dairy, it's going to help your acne, can even help your mood.
Posse says the nutritional benefits of dairy, along with other healthy foods, follow us as we age, reducing the risk of chronic diseases such as diabetes and high blood pressure.
Foods that are going to provide us energy, that are going to provide us nutrients, that are going to maintain us throughout our lifespan. And so when you're reaching for that dairy, what are the other foods that you can have that promote that nutrition? So fruits, vegetables, healthy grains, and protein. And that really should set your foundation for physical health and mental wellness.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, Tom Polsiewicz and I dig into John Kelly's blockbuster New York Times interview. We've got the clips from the interview. Donald Trump fully bear hugging Adolf Hitler. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens when a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wear a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume and it goes on over your other clothes. So I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The striking machinists at